Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And with me today, I have the pleasure to have Kara Pascal. Did I pronounce that right?
You did. Thank you very much. Wow, it's an honor to be here with you, Chris.
Yes. I'm getting off to such a good start
you
this
sure
morning.
You sure are.
Kara, you are the executive director of Thrive Metro East, which used to be Open Arms.
Arms of Love.
Arms of Love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the picture, was it Open Arms in there?
It was a cross, and it had like the hearts, and it looked like arms coming around, and yeah.
Okay. Kara, where are you from?
I was born and raised in Bethalto. And so I went to school there, graduated from CM, and then went off to SIU Edwardsville.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I married my husband from there.
What's his name?
His name's Brad, so he's from Highland. And
I see. We
were married 31 years ago, and we've been living
No way. You got married when you're 14.
That's
How about that?
Child bride, right?
All the way through high school.
That's right. Yeah, so we've been in Godfrey now for the last 22 years. We are raising three children.
Are you? What are your children? What's their ages?
So I have a son. He is 26 years old, and he's in the special needs community.
Okay.
And so he was born with Down syndrome and also diagnosed when he was 5 with moderate to severe autism.
Oh, boy.
So he's in that special category.
Yeah.
All to himself. And he's a joy. And he just brings lots of joy to our family. When he was about 5, then we had twins. We had twin girls.
Yeah.
And so the twins are now 21.
I see. 21, 26.
Yeah. And they just adore their brother. And he, of course, adores them.
So you went to SIUE.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you major in?
I actually majored in music. So my focus was on piano. I was a piano major. And I thought I would just be in churches and lead worship and be a music director.
All right. So you grew up was your dad a pastor or something?
No. I did grow up in a Christian home. But no, my dad was a sheet metal worker.
Uh-huh.
My mom and dad came from Wood River, so.
Do you sing as well?
I do.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. What's your favorite, what kind of music, what's your genre?
Well, I really just mostly listen to contemporary Christian music.
Mm.
And so, yeah, that's typically what I sing.
So you graduated, and then where'd you go next?
So I've been a nonprofit my entire in my entire history. So I started off at a nonprofit that worked with families that had children who had cancer. So we provided programs and services and resources for those families.
Can I ask you something? I know your oldest child, he was born. It was difficult for you. I mean, a big blow to the family. Were you a nonprofit, so right from the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you got out of college, this didn't happen to you and you decided to go into nonprofits.
Right.
You were always thinking.
You're right. I was actually drawn into that actually during college. I started working at my first nonprofit. And then from there, I went and worked at a church and I was a music director there. And then one day I got a phone call from this place called Arms of Love.
Yeah.
And the director invited me to come and work for them. Somehow he had gotten a hold of my resume and he's like, I think you need to come work here.
How old were you?
So I must have been in my 30s then. And so my twins were little and I thought, man, I don't know if I can do this. I'm home with my kids. And but they gave me an offer I couldn't refuse, working from home a few hours a week. And so that's how I got my foot in the door at Arms of Love.
So Arms of Love, am I correct? I mean, are you still considered pro-life?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Arms of Love has never changed its mission, although we have changed our name over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the purpose of that was really so we could reach out to more women who were looking for an abortion, women who thought that they needed an abortion. What we found is many women regret that decision. And so we want them to be able to reach out to us first so that we can make sure that they're fully informed of all of their options before they follow through.
Like if they walk in the door, you don't like chain them to through the wall so they can't get out.
No,
right?
Not at all. No.
So what's but you said something about now you have a different strategy, life affirming.
Mm-hmm. So we are life affirming. This is just another way to say that we're pro-life. What we've discovered is that the term pro-life tends to have a negative connotation attached to it, especially now within the political realm. And so we are still pro-life, obviously, but we call ourselves life affirming. We're a life affirming ministry, life affirming organization. And so, you know, we obviously know that all life is sacred. And but so we want to make sure that when women come to us, that we are sharing with them the truth about their pregnancy, the truth about fetal development, the truth about what abortion is, the truth about all of their options, including adoption. Adoption is a very viable option for a woman who finds herself in an unplanned pregnancy. So just to kind of start back at the beginning, Arms of Love and now Thrive Metro East, we are a life-affirming organization, and we provide those necessary medical services that a woman who is seeking an abortion needs to have. When she's facing that unplanned pregnancy, she doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We provide the free pregnancy test. We provide the free STD testing, and we provide the free ultrasounds. And those are very necessary services that any woman needs when she finds herself in an unplanned pregnancy before she can move forward with her decision.
Okay, now all these things are free. You
know, yes, and it's nonprofit. Everything is no cost. Mm-hmm.
How does Thrive, how do they bring money in? Then how do they support this?
Everything is through private donations. So we really depend on our community. We depend on our private donors. We depend on our churches. We depend on organizations in our community. And that's what funds this program and allows us to remain no cost for all of the women who come through our doors.
And evidently it's working. You have a lot of donators.
Mm-hmm. We have some wonderful, faithful partners. We have people who might just give a one-time gift, but then we also have our faithful monthly partners, and they choose to give on a monthly basis. Every year, we have our major fundraisers. We have our annual dinner that's coming up, and then we also have our baby bottle campaign. So a lot of churches in the area are familiar with the baby bottles, and so that funding comes directly to our center, and that is what is used and goes straight to our services. And so we can
How big of an area do you cover?
So we have women that come in from, you know, 7 different counties. We have like over 49 different zip codes. I mean, we have women coming from all over. So we don't turn any women down. Any person who comes through our doors, we will
even
absolutely.
Even if they're out of state?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have women who will come across the river from Missouri, and we're happy to serve them as well.
Okay. Now, Roe versus Wade was overturned. How did that affect? I mean, that was passed in 1973.
Mm-hmm. Yes, was passed in 1973, and that allowed for women to be able to have abortions all through pregnancy. And so what happened in 2022 is that decision was just handed over to the states. So the states.
When you say all through pregnancy, like so, to what month is the line where you can't abort
it really
a child?
So that just depends, like, I mean, it really would have allowed, because it said that women, it could be like a mental health, you know, a strain on her mental health. And so basically they just allowed, you know, they allowed, and I think it's different in every state,
mm-hmm.
you know, so the states do have those different lines. But, you know, it did bring the decision back to the states. And so every state has their own line where that is.
What is the most pro-life state in America? Or what are some of the pro-life states, a few of them?
So, I mean, right now we would say probably, you know, Florida has some really good.
Uh-huh.
I know the worst states. Missouri was actually probably one of the most pro-life states. Missouri actually became the very first abortion-free state. And actually, they were able to rid abortion from their borders even before Roe v. Wade was overturned in 22. And then they also were the first state that had a trigger law. So the moment that Roe v. Wade became overturned, then that made Missouri a pro-life state because they had that trigger law in place.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Kara Pascal. She is the executive director of Thrive Metro East. It's a pro-life organization, or what do you call yourself? A pro-life. I know where you're at. I know the building. I've been in it before.
Mm-hmm. So we're Women's Healthcare.
Women's. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Thrive Metro East Express Women's Healthcare.
And is that on Albee Street?
It is.
Yes.
Right okay. by the railroad tracks.
What is the address?
It is 4854 okay. North Albee.
And is that, what are your hours? When are you open for people to come?
So we're only closed on Wednesdays, and that's okay. when our mobile unit goes out. So we are there about 9 o'clock, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're there till about 5, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and probably about 3 on Fridays.
Before we get to the mobile unit, we'll talk about the mobile unit, but tell us about Illinois, about what's going on with Illinois.
So Illinois, our governor has actually made Illinois a pro-abortion destination. It's become an abortion destination state, unfortunately, especially since June of 22, whenever Roe v. Wade was overturned. And so, you know, what's happened is he's drawing women in from multiple states. Actually, we've even seen over 30 different states of women that are coming into the state of Illinois in order to have an abortion. So they're drawing these women in with, in this area specifically, with what's called the Logistics Center. The Logistics Center is paying for women's travel and their lodging, and also making sure that their abortions
Who's
in
paid
Illinois
for that?
Are free. That's their own private funding
okay.
that they're receiving.
So they have their own funding, just like you have your own mm-hmm. funding. I see. And it's called the Logistics Center.
Yeah, and they're working directly with the Granite City Abortion Clinic, as well as the Fairview Heights Planned Parenthood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're bringing women in from other states, putting them up in lodging, having them go to those centers for their abortions that are actually covered. Most people don't realize, but those abortions are covered by our taxpayer dollars.
Hmm. Well, how about that? Now you said something about something new, the abortion pill. Tell me about that.
Yes. So the abortion pill has actually been around for quite a while. And so sometimes abortion clinics would have their surgical abortions for those abortions that were more late term. But for the early term abortions, usually up to about 10 weeks of gestation, they would have the abortion pill. It's actually two different pills that a woman would take. One pill will actually starve the pregnancy of progesterone, which will then kill the baby. And then the second pill is what causes the contractions for the baby to be dispelled from the womb.
I see.
So what's happening now is they're calling it the DIY abortion. And so the abortion industry has really made a pivot, especially since June of 22. And they've really been targeting the abortion pill, pushing the abortion pill, even trying to get the FDA to stretch it so that it could be used beyond the 10 weeks, which we know is not safe for women to take it beyond that. And so what's happening is now they're actually mailing the abortion pill straight to women's homes. So they don't even have to go to an abortion clinic. And so this is actually causing havoc across our country because many women, first of all, they don't necessarily have to see a medical provider in order, like in person, to take this pill.
And they might not take it at the right time. You know, I mean, it could...
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not even given proper instructions on how to take this pill or when. They're not having the medical oversight, and they're definitely not getting that necessary ultrasound, which will actually confirm if the pregnancy is a viable pregnancy, if it's even in the right place. If it's an ectopic pregnancy, the abortion pill will not take care of it.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's many, many things that are wrong with that scenario. It's not safe for women, but unfortunately, they just keep pushing it, which means that their foremost is not for women's health or women's safety, obviously.
Well, before we went on the air, you talked about your strategy has changed, you know, and you have the mobile unit. So talk about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So our mission has never changed, but you're right. The strategy, we've just had to become more focused in what we're doing so that we can remain relevant for the women who actually need our services.
How are you relevant now? What are you trying to do?
So right now, because we know that more and more women are coming into our region, specifically to that abortion clinic in Granite City, we have deployed a mobile unit, our medical mobile unit, that our nurse will be on board and will be parked near the abortion clinic in Granite City. And so women will actually have an option whenever they pull in. We know that many women, they feel like that abortion is their only option. That's right. What they feel like.
Okay.
Or sometimes they're being like forced to make that choice. And so we'll have our mobile center
there. Who
usually
forces the young women to make the decision?
So it could be her parents that are embarrassed. It could be the father of the child, the boyfriend that doesn't want to be a parent. It could be a predator who has impregnated someone and wanting to cover up what's happened.
Yep.
And unfortunately, a lot of the laws in Illinois have changed, and they're actually protecting those predators now. One of the things that took place in 2019, when our governor passed the Illinois Reproductive Health Act, that actually led the way to the reverse of parental notification. And so parents no longer need to be notified when their own child is having an abortion, when someone else could take their child to the abortion clinic and the parent doesn't even have a right to know about it. And so that's obviously one of those things that is protecting these predators now.
So the mobile unit goes, they park, you say, on Wednesdays, you know, and they're able to.
Yes. Yeah, so we're there on Wednesdays, we're there on Fridays. And so our nurse is there and she's ready to perform all of the same medical services that we do in our center. Mm-hmm. She can do them right there on the medical mobile unit, as well as the ultrasound.
Now, we're running close to the end of our interview, but I want you to get in a little bit about how you support women and men.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, we definitely have a desire to be able to support the men as well. We have the fathers who sometimes will come into the appointment with the mom at our center, and they're asking us, well, what do you have for us? So right now we are able to provide the same parenting classes that we provide online for our moms. We're able to include the fathers in many of those classes as well in order to support them. But, you know, we'd really love for more men in our community to be able to come alongside these men to mentor them, because a lot of these men, they don't have a father figure in their own lives. And so therefore, they don't know what it means to be a good father.
They don't know the joy of being a good father.
Exactly.
You know, and having a relationship with your children.
That's right. And so they are afraid. And so they'll just kind of walk away from the whole scenario. And then that leaves the woman feeling like she's all alone, which will, you know, a lot of times cause a woman to go forward with an abortion if she feels like she has no support.
Does a man have a say? Do they have any say in an abortion?
Yeah, actually, men need to be empowered and realize that they do have a very important say in the life of their child. What we've found is that the majority of women who have had abortions have said that if they just would have heard the father of the child express the desire for her to continue with the pregnancy, that she would have done it. But oftentimes he's quiet, and so that makes her think that he's not interested or doesn't want the child, when the reality is the culture has actually forced him to think that he doesn't have a right or he doesn't have a say. But the truth is the women want to hear what he has to say. And many times if the father would just express the desire for her to carry that pregnancy, that she would absolutely do that, just knowing that they're in it together.
Now, I understand that you have a dinner coming up.
We do.
Tell us about the dinner.
We are very excited about the dinner. It is back in Godfrey at Lewis and Clark Commons again, and it's going to be Friday, April the 4th, and the doors will open at 6 o'clock p.m., and we're very honored to have the David B. Wright. David B. Wright is the founder of 40 Days for Life. So many people have maybe heard about 40 Days for Life when people go and pray around the sidewalks of the abortion clinics. Well, he started that international organization, and while he's no longer the executive director there, he actually is very much into the pro-life movement, and so we're very honored to have him. So David B. Wright, he's a bucket list speaker, and he will be addressing us and inspiring us with his passion. We're also excited that Mike Roberts, you might have heard of him. So he is a four-time regional Emmy award-winning meteorologist with over that we've seen on television for over 40 years, right? And so Mike is going to be our MC for the night. And so he was there last year, and he's going to grace us with his presence again this year. So we're very excited.
Well, how do people, how do the listeners get tickets? How do they go? How do they figure it out?
So they can go to our website, which is thrivealiveme.org. M-E stands for Metro East. So that's thrivealiveme.org. And they can click the button and they can register. It's no cost to attend the event. The dinner is going to be covered by our generous underwriters who are covering the cost of the event. And so that way, whenever we provide an opportunity for people to partner with the ministry and give towards the ministry that night, all of those funds that are raised that night will go directly to our patient services.
Oh, how nice. Mm-hmm. Well, Kara, it's been a pleasure having you in today.
And Thank you.
And I wish you the best.
Thank you so much. It's really been an honor to be here, Chris. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming. Take care.